Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
Let me tell you something. So, a game like we saw Wednesday night, where Jacksonville State, obviously, if you haven't heard, 31, Liberty 21, so Jack State, able to go to Lynchburg, win by 10, biggest win of the year for sure. And that sets him up really, really good in the conference championship hunt. We'll get into all that here in a little bit. But being able to win a game when you have, let me pull out my abacus here, 12 penalties for 115 yards proves that, A, you did not play your best football, and, B, you're a pretty good football team if you can get up that many penalty yards and still win by double digits. And I know we've talked about it. We will as the show goes. How the final score would have been a lot more in Jack State's favor had we even had, you know, four or five less penalties, much less if, you know, the team was averaging about 55 penalty yards a game and they had 115. So not to take away from the game, it was a huge win for Jack State. I believe now they have beaten everybody in Conference USA at least once over the last 2 years. So that's good to do in only a year and a half at the FBS level.
I think we're the first one to do it, is what I saw the other day.
Good. So that's a check in the box. Also, they moved to 4-0 in conference play, and we'll talk about the championship game outlook going forward. But it was a pretty complete game, offensively and defensively, aside from those penalties and the fact that we couldn't get much going through the air. We'll talk about that also. But Brooks, real quick, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, like you said, the penalties were absolutely infuriating. It just seemed like every time we would get a big play. Of course, Trey Stewart had a touchdown wiped off the board due to a holding penalty. I about came out of my skin watching. It was frustrating, but nonetheless, that's something that obviously has to be cleaned up. One of the hosts, it wasn't Josh Bate, it was one of the hosts on CBS after the game said, you know, great that we won tonight, but, you know, you're going to get beat by, you're going to lose some games on down the road having that many penalty yards and going on the road to Western Kentucky is certainly the game in the environment where that is most likely to happen. But nonetheless, great, great, huge win for Jack State. I thought it was just penalties aside, I thought we played about as good as a game, but all around game as we've played this year. We've had dominating wins against Kennesaw and Middle Tennessee and New Mexico State and Southern Miss, but I really, against a quality opponent like Liberty, yes, they lost to Kennesaw, but still, this is one of the, aside from Louisville, this is probably the best team that we've faced all year. And to go to their place and for Trey Stewart and Tyler Huff just to keep on having the rushing performances that they're having, and the defense, I sent out a tweet last night that is born again, is very much really the whole team is, but certainly the defense is. We made open field tackles. We're getting turnovers. We're keeping pressure on the quarterback. Doesn't matter who it is. Certainly stayed in. Salter had a few big runs last night, but I think we certainly stayed in his face for most of the night. Guys came up with some big sacks. To really shut down their momentum when they had it. So just an all around great night, even on special teams. Ripa had a couple. Yeah, what, one field goal? Yeah, just the one field goal. And Jack Dawson had some really pretty punts, especially that last one right before Jameer Latimer's interception. That was, I think, was huge, pinning them. You know, they got the big stop on us, and to pin them on their 10-yard line, on the drive where they needed points to try and tie the game, I thought was absolutely massive. So shout out to Jack Dawson too. But overall, just a great night to be a Gamecock. This was the win that the game that we said on the last episode, we've had circled on our calendar since before the season. This is going to be the game that probably defines our season. And seeing how far we've developed and how far Liberty has regressed, there was a lot of confidence going into this game, especially after Liberty lost to Kennesaw. And with our win against them, they get their second conference loss of the year, essentially knocks them out of contention for the championship game. And it's coming down to three. And we'll talk a little bit more about Sam Houston State later, but there's a world where really it's down to Western and us. So just overall great night. Great performance on offense, defense, special teams. Got to clean up the penalties, though. Absolutely have to clean up penalties.
Yeah, it hasn't been a group that we've seen a lot of bad penalties from throughout the year. There's always been the occasional, personal foul we've had a targeting or two, obviously, get a rough in the passer or a face mask. That stuff's going to happen throughout the year. But, they were averaging, 55, 56 yards of penalty with penalties per game, which was second in the conference. And just to have a game where you're, 12 penalties for 115, and it was roughing the passer and holds in really bad spots, like you said. You saw Will Olstein jump off sides that hurt us early on in the first half. I don't know. Probably a lot of adrenaline for on the road in Lynchburg, like when you said when at least coming into the year we thought this was going to define their season. It looks more and more like the Western Kentucky is going to define their season. But either way, this environment's going to be a lot like what they see in Bowling Green on the last week of the year. So got to clean up the penalties. Beyond that, I thought they played pretty well, especially Trey Stewart, 27 carries for 232 and four touchdowns. I know we joke all the time, but the easiest parlay in sports betting is Trey Stewart score a touchdown now. It's every game. It's two, three, four. It seems like after this team really got going, Tyler Huff ran it 20 times for 130. He contributed really well on the ground there also. And then passing for Huff, only 6 out of 10. And I think he was first two or three passes were incomplete. So he kind of finished the game a little bit stronger there. 6 out of 10 for 95 yards. They didn't throw it a ton. They didn't really need to, I guess. But, we'd like to see him be a little more prolific in that side of the football, maybe a little more balanced. And I don't mean taking take rushes away from Trey Stewart or take rushes away from Tyler Huff, but if you're going to throw it 10 times, you'd like to get, north of 100 yards. That'd be 10 yards per attempt, which would be a really good night. It would be, but I'd like to see him being a little more prolific throwing the football. Cam Vaughn led us in receiving, just had the one catch, but it was a big 39-yard that set up a score. And then beyond that, you look at some of the defensive stuff. Lady Hale had a sack. Shane Payton Hodges had a sack. And then a bunch of tackles for loss, Reginald Hughes, Jabari Mack, Juwan Campbell, Garen Stansberry, all had tackles for loss there. And, of course, the big interception at the end from Jameer Latimer that really sealed the game. It was probably the biggest play of the night for Jacksonville State, even though it was really the only thing, the only turnover that we caused defensively. So a pretty complete win aside from just annoying penalties. I would be a little more worried if this was a problem this team had had up until this point, but it really hasn't been. So I'm sure Rich Rod, and this is, if you're going to pick a game to have a lot of penalties in, it might as well be a game that you win on the road to where at least you can leave the game feeling good about yourself. And Jackson doesn't play again until next Saturday. So Rich Rod's got 9 or 10 days here to fix it, is all I'm going to say. It may not be the funnest week of practice I've ever had, because I'm sure that they have some kind of penalty punishment. At least when I played football, for the short amount of time I played football, we had some penalty punishment involved there. I'm sure they have something very similar. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of that this week, and no one's better at getting this team to run right than Rich Rod. But this looked like a John Gross Jacksonville State football team, quite honestly, with just the boneheaded penalties at times. So, like I said, nothing that we've seen. We haven't seen this a whole lot throughout the year, so I'm not super, super worried about it. But this atmosphere, if that had something to do with it, with the adrenaline flowing and being on the road in a big game, if that was a you know, part of the reason we had the penalties, well, you know, we have Western Kentucky the last week of the year, and we think that's going to be a game that decides who hosts the conference title. So something to get cleaned up for sure. Beyond that, no huge moments as far as plays that really decided the game. I mean, Trey Stewart's, you know, big 75-yard run to get us on the board was a really good answer after Jackson had to punt, and then Liberty went right down the field and scored without much resistance, I thought, from the defense. So that was a big play just to get us comfortable in the game and settled down. And then Jack State really kind of owned the second and third quarter as far as, you know, they outscored them 17-7. But like we said, that field goal that we had to kick after the holding penalty, you know, prevented us from scoring a touchdown that would have put us in even better shape than we were. And then, of course, that big interception by Latimer at the end that kind of sealed the game for us. But Liberty did miss a field goal late in the game that would have at least forced an onside attempt with 20 seconds to go or so. But I don't think that missed field goal had any real sway in the outcome of the football game, in my opinion. So overall, it was a tight game by the way the final score reads, and maybe a tight game by what we saw the first half look like. But I always felt like Jack State was in control of the football game, especially after we got that long touchdown from Trey Stewart that tied it back up at 7. I just felt like we were in control of the football game. I know we didn't lead in time of possession, but there's not going to be a lot of Rich Rod coach football games where Jack State leads in time of possession. We snap the ball once every 11 or 12 seconds. So that was a big thing at the CBS halftime show. One of the guys was about Jack State needs to hold on to the football more. No, they really don't. Part of what makes them this potent is moving this quickly. So Jack State's not going to lead a lot of games in time of possession. And with the defense, you know, look at last year and this year, has done a very good job with being on the field for 35 or 40 minutes of football game, because the offense may only hold it for 20 or 25 out of the 60 minutes. So it doesn't seem to be something that's hurting the defense week in and week out. We've, of course, seen bad performances against Coastal and that kind of thing. But, you know, week in and week out, this defense seems to play better and better each week. They played really good tonight, I thought. Caden Salter was 12 of 25. Only 147 yards, a touchdown and a pick, so under 50% completion. And he ran it 17 times for 68 yards. So they did a good job of controlling what was the best player in the conference last year. I know he hasn't been nearly that good this year for whatever reasons. I still don't really know if I understand. But anyway, proud of the defense for sure. And they'll move on to Louisiana Tech on the road a week from this coming Saturday. Brooks, any more thoughts on the game?
You know, there were several, for somebody who, somebody like myself who has never played a snap of football other than on the playground as a kid, I like to think I know a little bit of the ins and outs of football pretty well. I've been watching this very closely since I was 10 years old. So, and, you know, picking up on a little bit strategy, play calling, all that. And every time that there were several moments I found myself during that game last night where, you know, there's a reason I'm not coaching football. Every time, like, you know, we had the long run, the 75-yard touchdown run by Trey Stewart, second drive of the first quarter. I'm like, well, dadgum, that was a great run, but the only problem is, you know, defense just had a really long, drawn out drive that they were on the field for, on Liberty's first score, and now we got that was a great run, and good to tie the game up, but now we got to put the defense right back on the field again, and you know, I'll be damned if it didn't get a stop. And moments like, and then like. I tweeted out a couple times that, you know, we need to mix up the play calling a little bit more. We're gonna have to We're going to have to move the ball through the air a little bit, you know, a little bit differently. Those go routes aren't going to be there every time. The pass interference aren't going to be there every time. We got them a few times last night, but it's not going to be there every time. We gotta switch up the route running. And again, hand the ball to Trey Stewart or run a read option. And, you know, we kind of talked about today there before we got started recording that it was pretty much two guys that beat Liberty tonight. Of course, the offensive line was an integral part, but Trey Stewart and Tyler Huff, that was really it in the stat sheet. And the box score pulled up. That was really it in the stat sheet. Huff only threw the ball 10 times, completed 6. And it was it was 4 different receivers, but who we spread the ball out to was nice, but nothing just extravagant through the air, but it didn't have to be. Cause I mean, they did not have an answer for Huff or Huff or Stewart, and it showed. But to be able to have that's another one, every time we would get a penalty and back up, have to go backwards. It's like, all right, we're going to have to swap it up right here to get more yards. And no, just keep plugging along. We never, for as many penalties as we have, we never really panicked. Where it's like, all right, we have to do something different. We ran business as normal. I thought that was that really says a lot about our football team.
And I know I said a minute ago, there weren't any plays that really, besides the long touchdown run and the interception at the end, the Liberty fumble on the snap on a 4th-and-1 would be the biggest, late game play besides an interception. I guess I skipped over that, but yeah, Liberty was down 24-21. Really, they were driving to maybe go take a late lead on us, but I always felt like we were going to be able to force a field goal there. They were still on the 35 or 40 yard line at the time. And on a 4th-and-1 play, they just fumbled the snap back to, or I guess they recovered it, but it was 4th-and-1. They lost half a yard, so Jack State took over. So that might be the biggest, besides the Latimer interception there at the end, probably the biggest play of the game there. Liberty was obviously at field goal range at the time. It was 4th-and-1. The defense still had plenty of time to hold them to a field goal that would have tied the game or even take the ball away if they were to get that first down. But it's under center. They don't go under center very much anywhere in college football now. And it just mishandled the snap, and he just kind of had to fall on it, and Jackson took over. And then really weird clock management from Jamie Chadwell at the end of this game. Took all his timeouts with, before the 2-minute timeout. And I get a little bit of that. He wanted to get his team off the field. Jack State was on their own 35 or 40 yard line. He didn't want Jack State to get any closer into Liberty territory where they can pin them really, really deep, which is what ended up happening anyway. But it just still strange to get you to burn all your timeouts on first, second, and third down sequence with, it was probably 3 minutes left on the game clock at that time, right? So I thought that was a little bit weird, too. I know that there was a little bit of merit to it because, they wanted to get Jackson off the field right there to preserve a little bit of field position. But that early in the – I shouldn't say that early in the fourth quarter, but with that much time left on the clock still, surprised he used all three of those timeouts when he did. Was a little bit strange also. And then, of course – yeah, go ahead.
I know, I was just saying, before halftime, they got a stop on us and had what?
Yes.
About a minute – 50 seconds, a minute left on the clock. They get a stop, and they still had two timeouts. Might have even had 3, and just let the clock run down.
That showed me. I'm glad you said that. That showed me the trust level in the offense for Liberty is just not there. I mean, even Jack State, who doesn't throw the ball very often. They've thrown it good at times, and we saw the opposite against Liberty. They did not throw the ball very well last night. But, even a Jack State team, if there's a minute and 10 seconds left, we're calling timeouts, making a punt, going to try to go score or at least get in Rip's field goal range. So that was a very strange sequence. It was a tied football game at the time, so Liberty had a chance to go take a halftime lead and just decided to go to the locker room and be done. It was a really strange decision also. So I don't know. Jamie Chadwell clearly has some some issues with the, I don't know if it's a leadership issue for Liberty, because it's a team that's got a veteran quarterback and some playmakers. I know the Mobley kid was hurt and didn't get to play, but just some interesting decisions as far as when to use timeouts. And like you said, at the end of the first half, you know, to not use one and preserve some time for your offense. It's just kind of strange. And the Caden Salters, the peak last year, the downfall this year, you know, going from, you know, he was not the best quarterback in the conference. He was the best quarterback in Group of Five last year, almost without a doubt.
By far.
And yeah, and now he's not even the, I mean, Tyler Huff and Veltkamp are certainly better players than he is this year. It's just really, really strange to see. And I don't know if it's a coaching issue from Liberty or what, but they certainly are not the same team as last year. I know we said that for the first five games they played, but it's more and more evident as the weeks roll on. But yeah, I just wanted to highlight that fumbled snap in Gamecock territory by Liberty that really propelled us to that victory in the fourth quarter. Probably the biggest turning point in the second half for sure. All right, Brooks, we have stars to give out. I'm sure everyone knows where they're going, but we'll say it anyway, just for the sake of feeling like we accomplished something.
Yeah. We'll start off with the fans star of the week, or star of the game. And it was obvious. We gave a little love to Huff and Jameer Latimer, but it was obvious. It was Trey Stewart. The poll was overwhelmingly in favor of him. 27 carries for 232 yards and four touchdowns. This is the running back that he gets compared to a lot is Tremaine Pope, and for good reason, because he is what we really have not seen a running back in a Gamecock uniform since Buster's days in 2014, 2015. And dare I say it, this might be better. Go ahead.
He's doing things that we haven't seen done since the playoff run. I mean, you think back to that night game at home against Sam Houston in the, it was the quarter of the semifinals. I would have to go back and see, but where Pope ran for over 250. This game reminded me a lot of that. I mean, there were times we gave the ball to Trey Stewart, and I mean, it was just over and over again, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15, just whatever he wanted. And it reminded me a lot of that Sam Houston game from 2015, where we gave it to Pope probably 25 times in that game, and they just did not have an answer for him. He had whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted it. Very similar with what Trey Stewart's been able to accomplish. And the biggest takeaway for me in your biggest game of the year, at least to this point, right? Your biggest game of the year in an offense to where we've seen as many as five or six running backs, you know, get carries in one game. We saw that last year a lot. Trey Stewart was the only running back to record a carry. And I know Anwar is a little bit beat up, but I mean, you have Andrew Paul, who was a four-star commit to Georgia, who transferred to Jack State, albeit late in the portal cycle in the offseason. But to have only one guy carry the football in Rich Rod's offense goes to show you how much they think of Trey Stewart, or what they think of Trey Stewart, and how good he really is. So that was the biggest thing for me, is you look back at the stat sheet and no one else carried the ball besides Trey Stewart and Tyler Huff. Well, Michael Paley had one carry for 2 yards, but no other running back carried the ball other than Trey Stewart is incredible to think about in this offense. I would have never, you know, you could have told me that we're going to play a game and only one running back carries the ball, and I would have told you to take a hike, because that's not something that we're going to do, but he is that good right now.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I really got so caught up in watching Huff and Stewart peel off these, like you said, 18, 19 yard carries at a time. I really didn't notice that they're. I'm sure I'd have to go back and look at the clips, but I'm sure Andrew Paul or Mike Franklin or somebody might have went into the pass block for a little bit, but I just. What we're seeing out of him, like you said, how highly they think of Trey Stewart and knowing what they have in him is just phenomenal stuff we're seeing that we really truly haven't seen for 10 years. Like you said, we haven't seen a performance like this since the running back since the 2015 Tennessee State game, and obviously a very magical year for Gamecock football that year. But you know, like you said, this is the, kind of build off what you said. This is the most talented. This is the most probably the most talented team aside from Louisville that we faced all year on the road at night on national television, and we only need one running back to carry the workload. And really, it was, you know, at 27 carries, not just that, it really just wasn't a, that's not just a, just an overwhelming around, you know, it wasn't like he had, you know, 35, 40, it was just absolutely gas. We just kept giving him the ball all night, and having a quarterback like Tyler Huff who can run like that. Certainly very, very good fallback on, but you know, I said before we got started, is there any possible way that we might can get one more year at a Trey Stewart? And he is a senior, but maybe we can convince him to stay and get his master's or something. But just absolutely, absolutely phenomenal stuff that we're seeing. I said this is the first time since that 2015 year and Buster Pope that we've had a running back to have back-to-back 100-yard rushing games like this. So. Yeah, definitely well deserved star of the week. Drew, I'll let you give let you talk about yours next.
Yeah, I'm going to give mine to Jimmy Latimer. Just made the play when they needed it. I know it's kind of weird to give a star to a guy based on one snap, but he was a guy that made the play tonight. Liberty had the ball. I know it was on their own 5-yard line after Jack Dawson kicked a really good ball. We'll kind of see what Brooke says in a minute for our last star, but we'll see if Jack Dawson falls on that list because he certainly made a difference tonight, kicked a couple of really good punts. But, just made the play we needed. Just an out route on the sideline. He was able to jump it and nearly scored. And he got down to the 2 or the 1-yard line, and Jack State punched it in with Trey Stewart, I think, 2 plays later. Made the play we needed it. Really good play there from Latimer, and it would be, you know, If it was Poyser or Antonio Carter, whoever else made that play, they'd get the star also. So the secondary as a whole played really good tonight. I did want to talk about that, you know, holding Caden Salters to under 50% completion percentage and under 200 yards there is really, really nice. So the whole secondary can pat themselves on the back. But Jameer Latimer gets my star just for making the play when needed it. There is something to be said about that, and he get the ball thrown his way and made the play. And you know, we've seen Malcolm Butler win a Super Bowl MVP for the same reason. So it's not much different tonight as far as defensively who made the difference. It was this whole secondary, I thought, played really good, probably the best defensive unit of the night. Take the DBs and linebackers and the linemen up front. I thought the DBs made the biggest difference. So I'll give mine to Jameer Latimer and Brooks. Not a whole lot left to pick from, unless you want to just give yours to Tyler Huff, although I think there might be one better option, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll get, because he really was the other half of that offense last night. I'll give mine to Tyler Huff. You know, it's gotten to, we've reached a point where when we do this, we just, you know, it's, one talks about Huff, one talks about Trey Stewart, and we usually, you know, find a solid defensive player. And our defense was phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. There were some guys that I thought had a really good night, especially Antonio Carter. Reggie Hughes had another big night. Antonio Carter really looked good. Lolita Hale had a nice night. Fred Perry. All these guys really looked good. I think. And J-Rock Swain, I think, has quietly been good. But I got to give Tyler Huff his roses. I mean, we really, you know, this is, like I said earlier, you know, I kept waiting for us to, you know, swap it up with a passing game and, you know, move the ball through the air a little bit more last night. Because I do for everything that Tyler Huff has been able to do on the ground in this read option offense or a speed option offense, I do think he's a good passer. He's got a strong arm. He's got a rocket for an arm. He's smart in the pocket. He can move he does everything he needs to do to give his receivers time to get it open, and usually finds them open. Maybe a little bit needs to work on accuracy a little bit, make it a little bit of touch, but you know, this is the leading rusher in the country for a quarterback, not in a triple option offense where, you know, they're running, they're carrying the ball 22 times a game. He sits behind Bryson Daly and what's the name of his quarterback name? Oh, excuse me. No, he did. He jumped Blake Corbell last night. So he is second Russian quarterback in the country right now with 784 yards and 8 touchdowns. So, you know, again, this speed option offense absolutely plays to his quarterback style tremendously. But it's not even he's a tough runner. He does not go down. He does not slide. Scared me a couple times after it was either the second or third touchdown. He came up limping and had to go be looked at for a little bit on the sidelines. So it just, that part scares me about him. But other than that, you know, he's just absolutely phenomenal athlete. I kept waiting on him to throw, you know, like I said, mix it up through the air, but we didn't have to. We really didn't. I didn't think last night because they had no answer for the read option plays. So I'll, I think that's more than fair to give Tyler Huff my star of the game.
Yeah, punters are people too, Brooks. Don't forget
that. I know.
I agree. Tough is the cog that makes the machine run. As good as Trey Stewart has been, and you know, we talked about, you know, Tyler Huff being the best player on this team the first few weeks. I mean, right now Trey Stewart's the best player on the offense for sure, as far as, you know, just productivity standpoint. But Huff is the conductor that makes it run. As much as I like Smothers at times, and I thought he played good last year down the stretch for us, certainly in the bowl game, I don't think Smothers can do anything better than what Huff's doing. I think Tyler Huff is certainly, if you were to go in a lab and build a quarterback for this offense, it would look a little bit like Tyler Huff as far as, you know, throws a ball pretty well and is a elite runner at the quarterback position, super physical runner. You know, we would just want to see him slide one time this year. We don't know that we're ever going to get that. We're 8 games in and haven't seen it yet. No. But he's the – how we got him from Furman, I'll never know, because I think he would go start at a lot of places that run offenses similar to this and have a lot of success. So, no issues giving your star there to Tyler Huff. He probably deserves one every week, and he does get one most of the time. We'll move on from Liberty there. It's in the rearview mirror now. And obviously, we'll move on to Louisiana Tech on Saturday. But before we get out of here, we'll go over some of the scores from the weekend or from the midweek, I guess, not the weekend. And then we got some fun news here in a little bit. But FIU played their first real complete game, I thought, hosting Mexico State. And I know the Aggies are not a great football team, but FIU wins 34-13. That is an opponent that Jack State has in a couple weeks. They get Mr. Jenkins and company coming to Jacksonville for the first time. So we'll keep an eye on them the next couple of weeks moving forward. We'll jump down here to Western host Kennesaw State. They win 31-14, and Western put up 21 points in the first quarter and only scored 10 more the rest of the game. No touchdowns for Western in the second or third quarter. So I kind of wonder if Kennesaw found something against Liberty. Because I know 31-14 is not a, you know, tight football game by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, Velt Camp completed 17 of 22 passes, so he was extremely efficient in that game. But still, you know, Kennesaw had been able to hold him to 10 points through the second, third, and fourth quarter. Maybe that paints a little bit of a picture of what Jack State's defense can do against the really good Hilltopper offense, because that game is going to be here faster than we know it, and that's going to be the biggest one of the year. So They get a win, or Western gets a win there, 31-14 at home against Kenny. And then on Tuesday night, Sam Houston hosted Louisiana Tech and won 9-3. It was a rock fight for the ages in Huntsville, Texas. And the Sam Houston offense has not looked right since halftime of the Western game. I know, you know, they had their backup quarterback play, you know, in that second half, and then against FIU the next week. So that was kind of the excuse we were going with. But you know, Hunter Watson was back on the field for Sam Houston, and they still nothing going offensively for the Bearcats. Their only touchdown came on a 40-yard rushing touchdown there in the third quarter, and if that didn't happen, they would have got beat 3-2. Sam Houston. I don't know how much of the offensive struggles are, you know, Hunter Watson missing a week and a half for injury and getting back in the rhythm, or if maybe, you know, Western figured something out in that second half and FIU and Louisiana Tech have ran similar schemes and it seems to be working. But I'll tell you this much, if Sam Houston only scores 9 points against Jack State, they're going to lose by 40. that I know for sure. But Sam Houston advances 7-2. They're 4-1 in conference, and they sit in third place behind Jack State in Western Kentucky, just waiting for one of those two teams to slip up. But I think they can wait a long time for that. I don't see Western or Jack State slowing down any, especially till those last 2 weeks of the year to where we have that little round robin for the title game. So those are your scores. There's one more conference game on Saturday. Middle Tennessee State goes to UTEP. No conference title game implications there. That's a 2:30 game on the CBS Sports Network. I doubt that either one of us will tune in for that one, but we will we'll let you know who won in the Louisiana Tech preview, I reckon. And anyway, Phipps, you got any thoughts on the rest of the games?
Yeah, like you said, Florida International, I think, kind of coming into stride. A little bit late, and probably a little bit too late in the season. But, you know, they're one that, I said it on the last episode, I think probably could be compared to Sam Houston State last year, where, you know, their record didn't necessarily show how good a football team they were. You know, they've been in a lot of close games, throughout the year. Several didn't quite fall their way. But I fully expect them to, you know, I think we ought to take care of them. We certainly shouldn't overlook them, because that will be that could potentially be a trap game. Keon Jenkins is a stud quarterback, and he's just a sophomore. I think he's only going to be better as he progresses in his career. Had 338 yards and four touchdowns through the night against the Aggies. I'm high on this used to be Golden, but Panther football team. Like I said, don't think they'll make a bowl game, because all they've got left is us, Kennesaw, and Middle Tennessee. I fully expect them to get those last two wins. You know, maybe Kennesaw plays them a little if they're getting better. Maybe they play them a little close, but I think they, you know, Jenkins continues to put up the numbers that he has been, and I fully expect them to take care of business the last two games of the year. And then Louisiana Tech and Sam Houston, I, like you said, this has not at all been the same team that we saw up to halftime of the Western Kentucky game. Up to halftime of the Western Kentucky game, even with Hunter Watson coming back, just nothing really exciting about this Bearcat team. And Watson didn't have a bad night, and they even brought Jace Bauer in for a few plays, but 14-22, 146 yards and a pick. That's not, maybe he is still banged up from the injury. They got a pretty decent running back in Jay Ducker, but you're gonna have to rely on a you're going to have to probably rely on a decent quarterback in the game against us. And if Hunter Watson can't, you know, get fully healthy in 2 weeks' time, you know, it's like you said, if they only put up nine points of offense, really 7 points of offense, then, you know, that could be ugly real quick when they come to Jacksonville. So it'll be interesting to see who do they play next. They play Kennesaw. That'll be really interesting to see how Hunter Watson responds on the road against Kennesaw, and to stay in contention for, you know, watch out for Kennesaw if they really are, you know, if they really did find something in that Liberty game, and if they are progressively getting a little bit better, that might be a sneaky one.
Yeah, I mean, if Kennesaw can hold Sam Houston under 14 points, then I think Kennesaw have a good chance to win that game, and B, you know, you really start to worry
for sure
if you're a Bearcat fan about the offense. If, you know, you can forgive the FIU game, win that game, what was it, 10-7 or whatever it was, because you had a backup plan and that kind of thing at quarterback. But, you know, you shouldn't be real rusty at the quarterback position for only taking, you know, one game and, you know, a half of the other game off if you're Hunter Watson. And the offense just looks lost the last 2 weeks. So they have another game like they did these last 2 weeks against Bits Kennesaw next week. You know, you really start to worry about, you know, what is that offense going to look like when they go play, you know, Liberty and JSU to, you know, try to get themselves into the title game, being that third team looking in. So something to look forward there. Also, anyway, Brooks, you keep going now.
definitely pay close attention to that Kennesaw game next year in terms of Hunter Watson. And then Western and Kennesaw, like you said, maybe Kennesaw is starting to find their stride a little bit too late in terms of, you know, at least being able to move the ball. And this game was never close. It wasn't, but just, you know, seeing a little bit of progression one game at a time from Kennesaw is something to note, I think. Western Kentucky and Caden Belkamp just keeps chugging along. He was 17-22 for 276 and 3 touchdowns, and even on the ground, Elijah Young had 15 carries for 114 yards. George Hart had the one touchdown, but they're no doubt, you know, that's going to be the game to decide our season. I think, you know, like I said, we'll have to see what happens with Hunter Watson and Sam Houston, but this is not at all the same Bearcat team, at least right now, not at all the same Bearcat team that we saw in the first, five games of the season. So I hate the thought of football season coming closer and closer to an end, but as we do get come down to the wire in these next 3 or 4 weeks, deciding who's going to play for the conference championship game, you know, it's looking more and more like it's not going to be a matter of who's going to be in the game. It's going to be a matter of who hosts it. It's really coming down to really us and Western, and, you know, like I said, Sam Houston, as of right now, this is not the same team. They could, you know, they could really find their stride against Kennesaw and get hot against us. You know, you cannot rule anything out in college football, but, this is after, I think after this week, it's going to be crunch time. It's going to be really interesting to see. It's really going to be interesting to see what those last 2 weeks, what happens in those last 2 weeks of the season. And then Middle Tennessee to play on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Those last 2 weeks, we've said since basically week one almost that's what's going to decide this conference title race. And it's, you know, assuming Jack State, you know, doesn't lay an egg against Louisiana Tech and FIU. And I know that FIU game, you know, it is at home, but that team's going to have a bye week before they get to Jack State. So that's
the definition of a trap game, I think, when you've got a decent enough team. You know, you got two really good teams on the horizon in what will be Sam Houston and Western Kentucky. You know, I think that the definition of trap game, you know, looks a lot like what Jackson's going to see against FIU. So just got to be careful on that one. And then, you know, you pretty much you win one out of two against Sam Houston or Western and you lock yourself in. Doesn't matter which one it is. I know that is that weird tiebreaker three-way thing, but we're not going to try to even worry about that right now. That'll be a problem for hopefully never. So it's, like you said, coming to an end, but still a lot of football left to be played. I mean, this team's played played eight games, and we think they're going to have six more left. You know, four losing games, a conference title shot, and then a bowl game, of course. So hopefully we see them, you know, six more times, and then we'll worry about all the offseason stuff when we get there. But anyway, we'll obviously have a lot more, you know, title game talk as the season goes on, but it looks more and more, like you said, that it's not a matter of who's going to play in it. It's a matter of where it is. And, you know, if you're Jack State, you're either going to play twice in a row in Bowling Green or you're going to go up there, win, and get to host a title game, which is obviously the goal. So, anyway, Brooks, I know we have some news that you are just itching to share with everybody. So,
yeah. So we are coming up on our 25th episode. Really excited about, you know, this has been an awesome first season, and what a time for us to, you know, start doing this, as exciting as it is for Jack State football. But we, for our 25th episode, we want to do something special. We want to, I kind of toyed around with this idea and talked to Drew about it, and we think it's a great idea. Rather than, you know, do something to celebrate us, we want to do a giveaway as a thank you to you guys, our listeners, for your continued support throughout, really since March. You know, we started this thing as a, you know, just wanting to talk about, you know, get on here and talk about Jack State football for 30 minutes or an hour. And now it's, we've gotten a great following on Twitter and on all the podcast formats. So, what we want to do, to thank you guys, we're going to do, like I said, we're going to do a giveaway. We're going to be giving away a free AKC hat. A free AKC hat with it says AKC on the side and has the AKC logo on the front. Really sharp looking hat. And the big one, two free tickets to the Sam Houston State game, here in 3 weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks. Yeah, or no, 2 weeks because we play La Tech then Sam Houston, right? Yeah, 2 weeks. We're going to be giving away two free tickets. And these are decent, you know, good tickets on the home side, 25 yard line. And for those of you who might be wondering, with our new ticket system being all digital, these are paper tickets. So we will be able to actually, mail them to you. But what we're going to do is we will send out a tweet, we will send out a tweet next week announcing the giveaway. And for anyone who, all you have to do is like the tweet and retweet it. That's it. That's all you have to do. And then we will pick out, a random follower or a random person who likes and retweets the tweet. We'll pick one out from random. And, on our Louisiana Tech, reaction podcast, we will announce the winner because that will be our, 25th episode. So I'm really excited to get to do that. We will, and again, whoever the winner is, you'll be on the lookout for a DM on Twitter, asking so we can get your mailing address, mailing information to send you all the tickets and the hat. So really excited to do this. I've wanted to do something like this. I've been toying around with something like this since we got started. So I think this will be a cool way to get even more fan engagement, and again, as a thank you to you guys, our listeners, for all the continued support.
Yeah, and then like Brooks said, or maybe he didn't, but we're not going to come knock on your door and try to sell you anything. But we do want to be able to mail you the ticket. So don't worry about us showing up and asking for stuff or trying to sell you stuff or asking to record a podcast in your living room. We're not going to do any of that. We're really excited about the idea of the giveaway, and hopefully we get a lot of activity and support for you guys, because you guys have the reason that we're still doing it. If we had two listeners, we probably wouldn't record every week. So just big thanks for sure. to you guys that actually listen and interact with us on Twitter over there. So all right, beyond that, we're almost an hour into it, so we'll wrap it up here. Like Brooks said, you'll hear our Louisiana Tech preview next. I would assume that'll be Monday or Tuesday of next week, or maybe later on in the week, because they do play Saturday. So maybe a Wednesday or Thursday upload, and we'll kind of get back to our what we call our normal scheduling. That's not our midweek. We have to shift everything around so much. But maybe Wednesday or Thursday of next week, more than likely for the Louisiana Tech preview. And then, like Brooks said, that following Monday, we'll announce a winner on what I assume is going to be a victory review podcast, although we don't count our chicken before they hatch here. But that is a team that we should go to Ruston and run it up against. So either way, once again, thanks for listening. It was a really fun game last night. Biggest win of the year, biggest win since the bowl game for sure. And sets us up really well to play in or host a conference title. And that was the goal when the season started, and that is right in front of us. So, once again, thanks you guys for listening, and Brooks will outro us, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah. And if this one goes well, we'll certainly look at doing some more giveaway type things in the future, maybe celebrate some, you know, a Big Jack's conference championship win or a bowl win, whatever, or a 50th episode, whatever it may be. But yeah. Great week to be a Gamecock. We knew with this win, you know, this had to be the win that left everything out in front of us for in terms of what we want to accomplish. And I'll be danged if we didn't get it. We went to Liberty and took care of business. And now, you know, our focus obviously is on Louisiana Tech. But now the Sam Houston game and the Western game become a little bit more clear and concise in terms of what lies ahead and what we need to do. So really excited for the future. And yeah, we'll talk to you guys next week. See y'all.